the day we sweated out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride through mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on Highway 9. Chrome wheel fuel injected, I'm stepping out over the line. Baby, this town rips the
music has always been something that brings people together, and shared singing and music making are social glue that bind us and reinforce community. But what happens when we lose track of the words, when we don't know the same songs anymore? With the specialization of the music industry and a bunch of other factors, we might be headed that way. So this hour, we nominate the next generation of American anthems. Good morning, I'm Veronica Rickert, keeping you company this hour on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And joining us in studio this hour is Stephen Thompson. He's an editor and reviewer for NPR Music, and he's a panelist for the Pop Culture Happy Hour. You might also remember him as the guy who started the AV Club of The Onion as well. And Stephen Thompson, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here. I'm in person.
Usually, live and in person.
I know. Usually we do this from our studios in Washington, D.C., but I'm visiting some family and friends, and I'm actually staring straight into your eyes.
Which
right
is
now.
Totally a bonus, because I didn't know how great your hair was over the ISDN before.
So. You know, I usually try to have the ISDN set up to transmit hair.
You didn't have it on the right settings last time, because
exactly.
I couldn't see your hair. Well, maybe we'll post a picture on our Facebook page. Never have too many guests with awesome hair.
Oh, wow.
So I want to give you a little backstory on this hour. So I've been thinking about this for a while. I was at a 9/11 remembrance, let's leave it there, at Library Mall, which mm-hmm. is near the radio station here. And there were hundreds of people there. There were a lot of college kids. There were university people. There were community people. And they got to the part of the observance where we were supposed to sing along together.
Yeah.
And they had a leader come up. And he sang a verse about "If we shall overcome." And I noticed that nobody around me knew more than maybe two lines of that song. And so the rest of it, everyone just stood there. It was sad. You know, I majored in voice. I love singing. I think song is important. And I thought, well, you know, what are we going to do when we don't have common songs anymore? I mean, not just for times of national tragedy. You know, God forbid there aren't too many of that magnitude anymore. But, you know, what about when we're gathered around in the nursing home and, you know, we want to sing songs together? I've led a bunch of these with my grandmother when she was in nursing homes. And that generation knows all the words to all of these songs. And it's something they share, and it speaks to them, and you can tell it makes them happy. And I wonder what our generation is going to have, what's going to be left.
Yeah, I mean, I think the part of it, you kind of touched on the point, is going to revolve around ubiquity. It's going to be songs that broke through kind of outside of, you know, the way that popular culture now is so stratified and in so many silos, and, you know, more and more we're able to kind of burrow into, you know, very specific genres and very specific sounds and specific styles. And there aren't necessarily these songs that become, there aren't as many songs that become standards, but they do still sort of poke through. You know, last year you had, you know, there were basically three songs last year. As far as if you listen to certain radio stations, all you had was "Somebody That I Used to Know" by Gautier, "Call Me Maybe" by Carly Rae Jepsen, and "We Are Young" by Fun. And perhaps in future demonstrations, people will sing "Call Me Maybe" in a solemn fashion, because everybody will know the hook. But you know, obviously not many of those songs, these kind of very, very popular pop songs that also have a certain amount of critical currency to them, that are generally respected by critics. You know, it's going to depend. Every once in a while, a song like that is going to connect with people on a little bit deeper level than just like "Somebody That I Used to Know," which is, you know, about a breakup, mm-hmm. or "Call Me Maybe," which is about, you know, being called.
My 8-year-old loves that song.
Exactly. Well, the 8-year-old in me likes that song.
Yeah.
but you know, as far as you know, the stuff that becomes the "We Shall Overcome" or "What's Going On" or you know, or whatever of future generations,
right.
You know, well. we'll find them, but they may even exist now and just not have broken through in the they may not have become classics yet. Sometimes these things have ways of trickling through generations and being covered by the right people and becoming, you know, we don't even realize that there's this great standard right now that, you know, that hasn't penetrated yet.
Yeah, and like you said, it has to have more than, you know, a hook. It has to have some kind of resonance, something deeper that, you know, speaks to something, you know, a little more solid in the human character that maybe gives you courage or strength or makes you feel fired up. It can't really just be about a breakup, right?
Well, yeah. And a lot of, I mean, it was very appropriate that you kind of kicked off the segment with Bruce Springsteen. I think a lot of that, those kind of anthems come from the credibility of the person doing the singing, that in times of crisis and turmoil, or, you know, whether it's the civil rights movement or 9/11 or whatever, you sort of turn to musicians who have a certain amount of kind of authority and integrity in their and authenticity in their voice. So when September 11th happened, it was like, yes, I would like Bruce Springsteen to chronicle my feelings on this. And he put out that record, The Rising, that was kind of all in response to September 11th. And he did this wonderful job of kind of mixing these grandiose, a song like The Rising that is very, you know, kind of, it's for the whole nation to sing in unison.
Right.
But then there are smaller songs on that record that touch on the tragedy in more personal ways.
And do we have The Rising? We will look for it. We're going to try to get that on the run. But Born to Run, yeah, I mean, it was a surprise. There's something in Bruce Springsteen's voice that's so, it's American, but he's also not just rah-rah. He's looking at a nuanced America there.
Right. I mean, and he certainly has, you know, he certainly has a strong political point of view, but, you know, there's a sort of, the ability to be in touch with the everyday.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of people who strive to write anthems sometimes lose track of just the struggle of living each day.
Let's listen to a little.
On the shoulder half mile line, come on up for the rising. Come on up where heads in line. Come on up for the rising. Come on.
A little bit of The Boss for you there. And Steven, I know that your taste, you know, you're the guy who's knee deep in songs every day. Mm-hmm. What are some of your nominations for a new American anthem?
Gosh, you know, it's really tricky. I mean, anytime you sort of say, like, what is the one song that sums up everything you want to say?
It's not Gangnam Style, right?
It's not Gangnam Style. Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I was thinking of sort of my own anthems, as sort of ridiculous as it sounds, and it's certainly, I mean, I'm certainly not suggesting that it is going to heal the nation's wounds in the wake of a national tragedy, but I am a big, big fan of a musician named Andrew W.K., who put out an album in 2001 called I Get Wet. And there are actually three songs on the album with the word party in the name. There's Party Till You Puke, It's Time to Party, and Party Hard.
He sounds really deep.
He's very deep, but he actually kind of is. This is the great thing about Andrew W.K. He's this, you know, long-haired rocker, but he's sort of become this motivational speaking guru.
What is he motivated about?
He is a big believer in partying. And not necessarily like, let's get, I mean, there certainly are elements of like, you know, let's get drunk or whatever, but it's really just living. If you talk to that guy, he will talk your head off for an hour about sort of approaching life without, you know, without regret, and sort of throwing yourself into it entirely and
sucking the marrow out
of the bones of life. And you know, I'm not talking, it's not What's Going On, okay? It's not We Shall Overcome. But I do think that there's something to, you know, for me, when I want to be motivated, when I want to sort of feel connected to the world and living my life to the fullest, I will put on this I Get Wet record, usually in my car, and just kind of, you know, get the hair standing on end and sort of feel like you're alive. And I do think that's some anthems what makes them great anthems is they make you feel alive. I mean, even something that's patriotic, it's like, it's great to be an American.
So, Andrew, what's his last name again?
It's short for Wilkes Creer, but it's Andrew W.K.
Andrew W.K. So he's the guy that you're going to be sitting in your wheelchair. You're 88. You're going to be rocking out and singing him.
I'll have been dead for so many years by then.
No.
But yes, I will never stop enjoying the music of Andrew W.K.
All right. Well, there's a... Yeah. It's good to get the energy up, right? No matter what the age is.
Absolutely. Well,
he seems like an interesting guy,
nobody's,
that's for sure.
Nobody's old anymore. You know? I feel like... Like the old people of I don't know, like what I was I, as I've gotten older myself, I've really come to terms with the fact that that age is just, you know, today's sort of quote unquote old people are so much cooler than I had been led to believe when I was younger.
Is that because you're getting older?
Maybe
though?
It has a little bit to do with my getting older, but I don't think I will ever stop listening to Andrew W.K.
Nice. Well, I'm going to go another slightly more mellow route, and he's not American. This is an American anthem, but I think that. There's something about Bob Marley's Redemption Song.
Sure.
I think it's timeless. Mm-hmm. I think it's classic.
Yep.
I think it's slow enough that I'll be able to sing it when I'm 80. And I think it's beautiful. I love
Absolutely.
This song. You can't not love this song, right?
It's a very versatile song, too. This can be covered any number of ways. It's a beautiful song.
Let's see if we have a bit to listen to.
Old pirates, yes, they robbed I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs.
Bob Marley's Redemption Song, another one of my nominations for a New American Anthem, as we look this hour for songs that can bring us together as a community. And when we seem to have sort of forgotten the words to the old songs, we might be in need of new ones, even though the music industry is splintered and you can go as niche as you want to go into your music tastes, it's still true that we need songs to bring everybody together. And so that's what we're looking for this hour. And we're wanting to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send your email to talk@WPR.org. You can also vote on Facebook at The Veronica Rickard Show. We're joined this hour by Stephen Thompson. He's here in studio, and he is a panelist for Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, and he also co-created the weekly NPR music video series, Tiny Desk Concerts. I'm Veronica Rickard, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Redemption songs.
Veronica Rickard back with you today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we look for the next American anthem with our guest Stephen Thompson. He's in the studio today as he swings through Madison. You might know him from his Onion days. He started the AV Club, and he's at NPR now, where he is a panelist on the Pop Culture Happy Hour and contributes to All Songs Considered, among a bunch of other things. And Stephen, you like this one as an anthem. What do you like about this one?
Well, yeah, Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. I mean, it kind of goes back a little bit to the idea of ubiquity and songs that everyone knows. Now, I'm not sure that everyone knows all the words to Smells Like Teen
it
Spirit.
It might not be possible to know all the words.
They're a little slurred. But, you know, it certainly ties into the era that it's from. And I think that's one thing that's very powerful about an anthem is if it signifies a... I mean, timelessness is great, but if it signifies a specific time in American life, the way I'm sure the Rising signifies, you know, the period around September 11th, I think that Nirvana sort of exemplifies this sea change that happened in popular music about 20 years ago, you know, and was certainly a part of my kind of coming of age process. I was about 20 when this came out. You know, it's a shortcut to the feelings of disaffection that were so incredibly common, you know, around that time. And so, you know, the fact that it's kind of a fist pumping anthem and everyone knows it, and it's still a very well preserved song. It hasn't aged. The production of it hasn't really aged the way the production of a lot of popular songs ages. So it hits a bunch of the signifiers of an anthem. It's timeless, but if it's of its time, it captures a national mood that those of us who are around will remember instantly.
Should we care that it's a negative mood, that it's sort of like, you know, forget this time sucks and this is what it's like?
That's a really good question. That was one of the first things I thought of when we started playing. It was like, this is kind of a sour song. But I think, you know, when the nation is in a sour mood, you know, I mean, it's not that Smells Like Teen Spirit is necessarily a protest song the way kind of more socially plugged in protest songs are. It does sort of, I think it captures the way a lot of young people, one thing that is universal about it is I think it captures the way a lot of young people feel when you're feeling a little directionless and like you don't necessarily have some of the advantages that were there for you, that previous generations seemed to have.
Yeah, it captures a time in life that right. I think still probably holds true now, because I think it always kind of sucks to be a teenager on some level, doesn't it? I mean, it's hard.
Absolutely. And I think you can, I've always said you can never go broke capturing the disaffection of young people because new disaffected young people are made every day.
But we turned out all right. We came. You come out of it. That's the good news.
Eventually, right. You're like me and all your problems are solved.
Well, let's take our first phone call. We've got Frank is joining us from Onalaska. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Veronica. Great show. As a 57-year-old listener, I can agree to rock out to Andrew WK. He's a good party song.
Nice.
But on a more serious modern vein, I would say Patti Smith's People Have the Power or John Lennon's Power to the People. But I've always thought Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land has got to be the national anthem of this country. People can sing along, and it's got the spirit of America.
People do know the words to a lot of that, which is a bonus.
Yeah, and then there are all these additional verses that say a lot more than people realize.
And they get a lot more negative, actually.
It does.
A lot more questioning of what this country really is.
It does. And, I grew up in a house full of folk music, and my parents were very, very strong believers that this Land Is Your Land should have been the national anthem.
But relate to Patti Smith's song. That's a good one. You should be playing Power to the People.
Power to the People. Okay, another vote for that. You can't really argue with Woody Guthrie, though.
No.
He's so American, and he wrote songs that people can sing along to.
Well, and it's another example of somebody who is plugged in not only to very large and universal feelings, but very small and universal feelings, and what it was like for individuals to struggle in this country, you know, and sort of spoke for people who didn't often get spoken for in popular music.
And rambled and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was a sounding, this land was made for you and me.
Now, of course, This Land Is Your Land by Woody Guthrie. That was a nomination from Frank for a new American anthem. And let's go next to Randy, who's calling from Laval. And by the way, we do have a couple of open lines. Now, if you want to get your call in, you can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Hey, Randy.
Yeah, I hate to trounce on the great nomination of Woody Guthrie. Boy, what an incredible suggestion. So first of all, out of respect to him, I would I don't want to do more than him. But my daughter gave me an iPod about 4 years ago and said, "Dad, use this when you exercise." And I have to admit, it's changed my life.
Really?
It's an excuse for an old guy to dance by himself. You know? Anyway, fortunately, I live out in the country, and so nobody has to put up with it. But anyway, I have 20 songs now that I use, and they would raise me from the dead if I'm ever in a coma. Mm-hmm. And I don't share them. They're too sacred. The story's behind them and everything. But the anthem, people could start there, and the one that I start with is from Josh Groban. Now, it may be corny. Maybe he's corny. I don't know, but he reaches me. And the one I start with is one he sings with Angie Stone, The Prayer. And I just start with that one, and it almost brings tears to my eyes every time I play it. It's that meaningful to me. It's just open our eyes, give us wisdom. And I think the concert that they did that was around 9/11, now that you're mentioning it. It was a live presentation, and he just in general does that, moves me that way. You know, I apologize if it's corny, but he just does, and so that would be my suggestion.
You should never apologize, right, Stephen?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was immediately going to go into my whole screed about how you should never apologize for what you love, and if music moves you in wonderful ways, I mean, don't ever be ashamed of that. And Josh Groban, I mean, he's got that big beautiful voice, and I know for a lot of people he connects very deeply.
And help us to be wise in times when we don't know.
And that, not Josh Groban, it's Angie Stone.
Yeah, they're duetting, and of course we've got the Angie Stone portion. But
yeah, say what you will, I mean, Josh Groban has a beautiful voice. It's like butterscotch pudding, isn't it? You can't argue with that.
A voice like butterscotch pudding, raves Veronica Rickert.
You're laughing now. That'll be on his dust jacket.
I was just going to say. I was just going to say. You've given him a blurb to last a lifetime. Here we go. He's
all right.
Oh.
And hold it in our hearts.
A ricordarci che.
Well, you know, the caller, was that Randy?
Yeah.
Okay. The caller, you know, sort of made the point about how, you know, you kind of start out with a certain song. And we all sort of have songs that we use as palate cleansers a little bit. And, you know, where you put on a record, no matter how you're feeling, you sort of can find your center with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, any song that does that for somebody, I'm all for.
What is your palate cleanser?
I mean, it's not an anthem. It's so far removed from anthems that...
Do I want to know?
There's a record that came out. It's probably my most recent example of this. It's a record that came out a couple of years ago by a Scottish singer who calls himself King Creosote.
Oh, right. You mentioned that last time you
were. Yeah, yeah. I talk about it at every opportunity with an electronic musician named John Hopkins. It's called Diamond Mine. And it is this very quiet, transporting record. And it just brings my blood pressure down like 20 points every time. And then you can listen to whatever you want from there.
Yeah, so it's like the musical equivalent of sorbet.
It is it's lemon sorbet.
Why do I keep using these weird food metaphors?
You've got flavor on your mind.
I need to stop. Okay. Well, yeah, a song that's come up a couple of times now is We Are Young. That's by the band Fun, mm-hmm. which was a big song. Was it last year? Basically, you know, I thought about this. We talked about this one yesterday because it does have certain qualities of the anthem. It's powerful. It's passionate. It sort of says something about the eternal youth of everybody. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, who could sing along with that song?
Well, it depends. It also depends on where in that song you want to sing along. Because then there's all this stuff about being carried home. You know, you're plastered and your friends are carrying you home. And you know, while there's certainly something universal about that for many, you know, it's really that chorus that kind of comes up again and again that everybody can kind of hoot along to. You know, that song is probably, in terms of the songs that were big last year, the three that I mentioned, the Gautier, Carly Rae Jepsen, and Fun, that's the one that sort of has the most potential, I think, to be an anthem that people carry with them and associate with a time in their life.
We are young. So let's set the world on fire. We can burn bright.
that song. But I have to say, the first version I heard, for better or worse, was the parody "We're Not Young," which
really?
I maybe related to more to than this particular version. But it's still good, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I mean that song. You know that song. I think, you know, anytime you can tap into how people feel at a time in their life when they are young, you know, that song for a lot of people is always going to bring them to a point where they were on a rooftop deck, you know, in the summer of 2012, and that song made them feel alive. And like, they'll always be able to access that moment by listening to that song.
I was on no decks in the summer in 2012.
No, I was.
My life is a wasteland,
Stephen.
I was
driving my minivan to work.
And that is why we're not the audience that song is speaking to.
Exactly.
All right. You know, we haven't talked about the Beatles yet, and I bet some callers have that on their minds. Let's go to Kevin in La Crosse.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, well, I don't know if America could swallow a national anthem written by a great songwriter from Liverpool, England, but I would vote for Imagine by John Lennon.
Sure.
Yeah, that is a beaut. What do you like about that one?
I think it tells a great story, and it just talks about freedom and people coming together and, you know, love. And it's got so many things in that song, and it's so well written, and it just tells a great story, and I think it'd make a great anthem.
If you try, no hell below us, above us only sky.
Imagine by John Lennon. That was Kevin's vote for an American anthem. So what if they're from England? Doesn't matter. The Beatles are universal, and I think a lot of their songs, you know, this is one, which is simple and lovely, you know, not strictly the Beatles, but the Beatles songbook in general, that's pretty evergreen. That's something I think speaks to multi-generations, and that's going to stick.
Oh, absolutely. And Imagine, you know, we've been using the phrase American anthem as kind of shorthand, but I mean, a song like Imagine is a human anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's obviously, by its very nature, it's an aspirational song that's sort of there to sort of locate what's best in us as humanity. And, you know, and that, I mean, you talk about timeless and universality.
There you go.
live radio people. And you know, it just has tremendous and eternal power. That's a great pick.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. Thank you so much for that. I'm glad we got to hear some of it. And let's do a Facebook message here from Amanda, who writes, when I was in college, Journey always seemed to bring people together, whether at the bar in Madison, volunteering in New Orleans post-Katrina. Don't Stop Believin' was a song that made all conversations stop and the worst of singers sing.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. I like his voice. I think it's beautiful, and there is something powerful about that one, don't you think?
It's actually, it's almost impossible for me to judge, to put on any kind of critic's hat and judge Journey.
Yeah. You know? Who are you to judge Journey?
Well, who am I to judge Journey? But I mean, it's so woven into the fabric of, you know, gigantic swaths of American life, and it goes back to those songs that everybody knows, and you know, Don't Stop Believing is just a fist in the air in song form. You can't beat that.
It is. I don't know. I feel like they don't make, I don't know, now I'm sounding really old. I was about to say, I feel like they don't make anthems like...
Where did all the bands like Journey go, man?
Oh, you're going to have to take over. I can't talk anymore. Let's let John talk from Appleton. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. My vote would be Green Day's American Idiot.
Ah, yeah.
Might not be quite as uplifting as everyone else, but it stuck around.
Yeah, I think that's a great vote. We talked about that one yesterday, and it got a lot of votes here in the office. And let's listen to a little bit of that. And Stephen, while we're getting it queued up, tell us about American Idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's another. It's certainly a darker perspective, but I think it's another aspirational song. It's sort of about wanting to do sort of wanting to do better than how he feels people perceive Americans sometimes. And so yeah, it's sort of a protest song, but it also has a little bit of that fist in the air quality as well.
The subliminal mind, America. Welcome to a new kind of attention.
Green Day, American Idiot. That's the vote from John in Appleton for a new American anthem. As we talk about, you know, the need for new songs to fill this space in American culture, songs that bring people together, songs that maybe we can sing in our nursing home sing-alongs 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, whatever it may be. And
for me, it's about five.
Five. You are older than you let on. You're, in fact, you know, a seasoned NPR guy who's been around for decades. And, yeah, getting votes here today and getting inspired and excited about American music again. And we'd love to hear from you. When we've got an open line, I think they're still full right now, but we should have one opening up soon, and you can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. You can also vote if you can't get through on Facebook, which is The Veronica Rickard Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickard with you today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we're joined by Stephen Thompson. He's here in studio. You've heard him on these airwaves before. He's an editor and reviewer for NPR Music and a panelist for the Pop Culture Happy Hour. And he also started the AV Club for The Onion. You might remember that, too. And we've been talking, and I've been talking these last couple of weeks about how today, this hour, this very hour, is my last Friday show with you. Which I have to say I'm really sad about. I'm still processing it, but it's great to go out with a laugh and music with Stephen. But we do want to talk about things to look forward to, and one of those things is Anne Strainchamp's new program, 45 North, which you'll hear here starting at 9 o'clock from 9 to 11 next week, Friday. And also, Rob Ferret, my friend and my colleague here, we're going to be going on to some new radio adventures, too. We're going to be launching a new show, and we're going to tell you a little bit about that now. Rob, you stopped by today, and I see your kids are looking through the window at me. Everybody's here. It's fun. So what are you thinking?
My whole family's here. Your whole family's out there, too, Veronica. It's a big family gathering.
Yeah.
Well, the new show, it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a few subtle details to iron out, like exactly what time it's going to be on the air, when it's going to start, a name for the show. But it's going to involve you and me talking to people.
Right.
We've got that nailed down.
There will
absolutely
be people, and there will be talking.
Exactly.
Right.
Beyond that, it's all fuzzy. No, the content is going to be a lot of fun. So, Veronica, you've been working on To the Best of Our Knowledge for a long time in this show, and I think there's going to be a lot of content similarities there. The thoughtful stuff, the thought-provoking things. I've been working on some of the newsy shows, like especially the Joy Cardine show, where we do a lot of politics, but also have a lot of fun and do pop culture. There's going to be room for all of that, and then we're going to be throwing in science, technology, arts, literature, some of the things that we don't do
and
a lot of.
And live music
shows.
Again, which is something
exactly.
I've started on this show. We're going to keep the live music theme going as well. So it should be just sort of a mix of what's on your mind and what you love and what we love, and we hope we're sharing it with you, and we hope you're sharing back with us. Two-way street.
And for Ideas Network listeners, there's going to be a lot that's familiar. It'll be live. There will still be a lot of call and a lot of listener input, but there will be some changes. We're going to do the format a little differently. There's not going to be the one-hour interviews. We'll still be doing that on Joy's show and Kathleen's show. We're gonna mix it up a little more. It's going to be kind of a magazine, a half hour here, 5-10 minutes there. And what I'm really looking forward to as a producer, and you've been there too, Veronica, there's so many great and interesting topics that we look at and think that's super cool, but is that an hour? Is there a lot of call in, or do people don't call on that kind of topic? Well, now we'll do that. We can do that topic for 5 or 10 minutes, and that's going to open the door to a lot of variety, a lot of great stuff that we've had to leave on the shelf on the shows you
right.
and I have
so
worked
on. So it should
on.
Be more variety there for everybody and, you know, sort of new diversity about what you hear on mm-hmm. the air. So there's so much to be excited about, and we don't really know when it's going to start airing, but the ballpark is a couple months.
A couple months from now,
A couple months. It's in development, but I know you're going to enjoy hanging out with Anne here on Friday mornings for 45 North, too. And Rob, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. Can I throw in an anthem or two, maybe?
Yeah.
Before you hand it back to Stephen, who we'll hopefully have on the new show as well, I hope. I
Definitely.
Can put that out there.
I officially accept your invitation.
Excellent, excellent. So I'm very literal-minded, so when I heard anthem, I thought of National Anthem by Radiohead. It's not really a sing-along song, though, so that's probably not very good. And then when my brain started working more, I thought maybe James Brown, mm-hmm. you know, an American original, I Feel Good. I think that's one that...
I Feel Good.
It's been in so many movies. Maybe it's overdone, but I think I'd accept that as an American
that's
anthem.
Sort of your personal theme song, isn't it?
I do usually feel pretty good. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you, Rob, and thanks for coming in.
Looking forward to the new show. Good to see you, Stephen.
Good to see you,
too. All right, thanks a lot. Do we have any James Brown? I think we're waiting to listen to a little bit of that as Rob's party music, but he'll have to be humming it in his own head. Anyway, so we're looking forward to that. And again, a lot of changes, but I think they're all good. I think you'll like what's coming down the pike your way. And let's go back, rejoin our conversation with Stephen Thompson sitting patiently here with his glorious hair. And we'll go next to Steele joining us in Appleton. Hi, Steele.
Yeah, hey, everyone. My artist is Phil Oakes, O-C-H-S.
Sure.
Power and the Glory. And it has so many highs and lows, but it starts off come take a walk with me through this green and growing land. And yet she's only as rich as the poorest of her poor, only as free as the padlocked prison door. I mean, when I first heard this about 2 years ago, I just, and I'm just thinking about it. And you can find it on YouTube. I think it's beautiful.
And so we have found it on YouTube. Let's listen.
Here's a land full of power and glory. Cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all. From Colorado, Kansas.
Phil Oakes, Power and Glory, the vote from Steele in Appleton for a new American anthem. As we're looking for new songs to bring us together, it seems as though as a culture we've maybe lost the thread a little bit of these songs that we sing together. In fact, people don't sing that much in public anymore, I feel like, unless they're part of a band. Do you feel like that, Stephen?
Or in bars.
In bars?
I don't know.
But most of us aren't hanging out with our kids in a bar.
I was going to say, I'm with my kids. I will occasionally sing at them. but we don't necessarily. Yeah, we don't sing together as a family as much as we should.
Yeah, I can remember. Actually, in this building, I came to work. It was early, so that might explain my response. And there was a woman who got in the elevator with me who sang the entire ride up.
Wow.
And my response was to be really angry.
And unnerved.
But when I thought about it, I thought that was great because, you know, you don't walk around and hear anybody singing anymore. I feel like, you know, the whole Woody Guthrie thing that everybody can make music has been a little lost, too.
Well, yeah. And I'm a huge believer in the fact that music is for everyone. And however you can find a way to enjoy and share and discover and, you know, it's a good thing.
Definitely. So would you like to start us off by singing something?
No.
Darn. I had you supporting it. I thought you were right there. But all right.
I'm a big believer in other people singing.
What kind of example is that, Stephen?
You're
the NPR music guy.
I know, but I don't want to ruin music for other people. I want people to celebrate and enjoy music and not to be traumatized by it.
All right. Well, next time, though.
All right.
Prepare something.
I'll work something up.
Work it up. And next time. All right, let's go to Chris. Chris is joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Hi. My nomination would be Hulk Hogan's entrance music from the WWF. Not only is it upbeat, but it's one of those songs that just gets you pumped to be an American.
Nice.
That definitely speaks to an era, the Hulk Hogan wrestling era. He was a really big deal.
The studio is exploding with nostalgia right now. Our producer is just figuratively tearing his shirt open, Hulk style.
It's fist pumping.
That's a great. That's a great pick.
It is a good pick, and it you know, if you go back to your characteristics of an anthem, does it speak to a time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for sure.
Does it speak to where you were at a time? You know, I think for a lot of people watching you know, Hulk Hogan on WrestleMania, I mean, you know, if you can conjure something that brings you to the point where you were pumped up watching Hulk Hogan, that's a great thing. That music is so powerful that way.
That's for sure. Yeah, that definitely brings you right back to it. I remember being devastated when I learned it was fake, though.
Well,
it also makes me bitter.
I remember feeling like it was a big controversy. Like, is wrestling fake? You know, and now it's just an accepted truth.
Right, of course it's fake.
It was a more innocent time.
Right.
It was a more innocent time when we were being lied to.
This has turned into nostalgia hour. I do thank you for that pick. And we go to Jared. Jared is with us in Madison. Hi, Jared.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
Pretty good. So I'm a college student here at Madison. And there's two songs that I'd say most people in my generation know. The first one is Hey Ya by Outkast.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the second is Wagon Wheel by Old Crow Medicine Show.
Mm.
So both of those songs are ones that I could see us singing in the nursing home.
Yeah, you know what? The Hey Ya thing, so there's not... You could at least sing the chorus, no matter what shape you were in.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Could sing the chorus of Hey Ya, and it would make you feel pretty good.
It's also a song that for a lot of people has sort of an associated dance or hand motion. You know, so anytime it's not only you know the words, but you have motions that go with it.
What is the hand motion?
I you know how old I am?
I don't know. How old are you?
You're trying to get me to sing and dance, and what am I here, dancing monkey?
Are those the hand motion? We're watching a little video online that that Joe Harkey, our TD technical director, has brought up. Oh yeah, that's the hand motion.
You
now
put
I remember
your hands
it.
Out. People in Radio Land are not going to see me do the hand motion, regard. But yes, you extend your hands and wiggle your fingers.
Let's listen.
The whole thing.
Is that the chorus? Is the Hey Ya the chorus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's fairly simple to sing along to.
Yeah.
Not that you're going to get me to do it.
Maybe you could give us an example of how one would sing along to it, Stephen.
No.
I'm not going
to
give up.
You got to get up pretty early in the morning to get me to sing on the radio.
I really like that. I like that suggestion. Thank you so much for that. And
it's
I've forgotten, you know, it's worth pointing out that Stephen might be a couple years older than me, so I didn't know the hand gesture. Or maybe I didn't watch the video.
Yeah, maybe.
Actually,
maybe.
I could be like 10 years older than you. I don't know. All right, let's go to Sarah
that.
In Zion, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Veronica. I loved your show, Veronica. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
And my nomination is Running on Empty by Jackson Browne, which I feel is kind of dated, and yet it also is kind of universal because, you know, it talks about how when you grow up and you have ideals and you have values that maybe you've inherited, and then you go out in the world and things just aren't the way you thought they were going to be, and you're wondering what's it all about.
Jackson Browne's song, Running on Empty, that's Sarah's vote for a new American anthem. And, you know, I'd forgotten. That's one of those songs that I'd forgotten about. And it is. It's a really good song. It speaks to a lot of different topics that resonate.
Well, it's kind of, in a way, it's the flip side of Smells Like Teen Spirit, in a way. It Smells Like Teen Spirit, you're coming of age and you're disappointed. And Running on Empty is sort of aging out of your idealism. It's kind of two sides of the same disappointment coin.
I feel there's something about the song, though. I mean, if I were to read into it as a music critic, I would say, yeah, there's that disaffected side you're talking about. And maybe you've gotten older and mellower and you're not as bitter and angry about it.
Or more bitter and angry about it.
Nah, I don't think he's more bitter and angry. Do you?
I'm just offering that up as an alternative.
You're just talking smack. Anyway, so I think that, you know, and then you've got that, and then you've got the music, which actually sounds optimistic if you stripped it of the track.
Yeah,
so I think there is a bit of a silver lining in that song.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that one, Sarah. That's a good one. And Randy next. Randy joins us in Kewaskum. Hi, Randy.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I'm going to kind of date myself, but when you talk about anthems, two that come to mind right away are Alice Cooper's School's Out in 18, and the other thing that comes to mind is Zeppelin's Rock and Roll.
Great picks. And you know, you say, oh, you're aging. You know, I'm showing how old I am. My kids are 9 and 12, and my kids love Alice Cooper. And they've kind of just fully discovered and embraced School's Out for some reason. So right. you are never too young for Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper, School's Out. That's another evergreen song. That one, obviously, for obvious reasons, speaks to young generations.
But Alice Cooper, I got into Alice Cooper when I was 7 because he was on The Muppet Show. So Alice Cooper is for everybody.
He was on The Muppet Show?
He was. It was awesome. You need to find it.
Did he bite the head off a Muppet?
No. Bite that. Well, he was certainly a figure of menace.
He was, yeah. Okay, so he skulked around in a black cloak or something.
Oh man, you got to see it.
I should see it. I can't believe I haven't seen it. I love the
Muppet Show. I dressed
as
Alice Cooper for Halloween when I was like 7 or 8 because he was on the Muppet Show.
Nice role model there. So, Stephen, if you had to leave us with one, and we're getting close to the end of the hour here, what is your ultimate pick for an American anthem?
Ultimate pick? I don't have an ultimate pick.
Is your ultimate pick? What about American Pie? I bet you like American Pie.
American Pie? American Pie?
Oh my gosh, the scorn.
No. I love American Pie. I listened to American Pie endlessly when I was a kid, but I'm going to go, oh man. Mm-hmm. We have a list in front of us, and Veronica put her finger down right between Bob Dylan's Blown in the Wind and Public Enemies Fight the Power. And
I was pointing at one, actually.
Oh, no. Bob Dylan or Public Enemy. I mean, Fight the Power by Public Enemy is a fantastic anthem. But Bob Dylan's Blown in the Wind is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Bob Dylan. And he speaks to America, and he also speaks to a complex version of America,
right.
Not a plasticine version, a complex, living, breathing, all strata of society part of America.
Right, America as sort of a living and growing organism. Let's go with, I love Fight the Power so much. Let's go with Blown in the Wind by Bob Dylan.
Let's listen to that a little bit here. That was not Blown.
As Mama Said Knock You Out comes up over the...
Bob Dylan does reinvent himself from time
to
time. That could have been what we heard.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas...
And that's Bob Dylan you're listening to. And this is my final goodbye for now on these Friday shows. Starting next week, you'll be listening to 45 North with Ann Strainchamps. And it has really been so great and wonderful and just heart-enriching to be part of this radio community with you guys on Fridays. And I'm going to miss being here so much. And I'm looking forward to hearing you and hearing your voices, your ideas, being with you again as I embark on new adventures with Rob Ferret, my friend and colleague. And I hope that you'll come along on that adventure too. Stephen Thompson, thank you so much for being here.
It is my pleasure. It's an honor to be on your final Friday show.
And thank you for not making me go out with Fight the Power.
I just have one last message for you people.
I'm Veronica Rickert on the Ideas Network.